We are in part two of Servants and Soldiers, Matthew. Last week was chapter 20, verse 20. Quick review. James and John, mother, said, "Hey, can one of my sons sit on your right and your left?" And these guys thought that that would be a good idea. I don't think they, even though Jesus had told them two or three times, at this time, I think it's three, that, "Hey, I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be raised from the dead, okay? And I don't think they've quite got the picture yet. And then the second point was they're arguing essentially about, in Luke 22 and 24, is they're arguing about who's the greatest right before the cross. They're saying, "Well, who's greater? Who's better? Is it the Methodist? Is it the Assemblies of God? Is it the Tristan Church? Is it the what? Who's the greatest?" And so Jesus and John then shows them who's the greatest. He washes the feet of the man who is betraying him. He washes the feet of Judas, along with everybody else, okay? And he said, "You know, you guys think you're a big deal because you're sitting at the table and someone's serving you, but the person who's serving you is the big deal." Did Jesus give us a few examples of that? Amen. Seemed like we'd catch on. Evidently, I'm pretty slow, okay? But then we're going to get to today, to the fourth point, which is we're starting today with Matthew 20 and 29. And guys, I want to tell you, this will preach. And so I will try to rein it in, maybe. "Now they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him," talking about Jesus, "and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.'" They're hollering, okay? They cried out. If you're from the south, that means holler, okay? "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them, "You better shut your mouth," that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more. I translate that as they got louder, saying, "Have mercy on us, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This is like one of them protein bars. This has got a lot in it, guys. And this is supposed to be just my first point, but this may be my only point. I'm not gonna argue with God. I do most of the time, but I'm not right now. Because it's already been a very sweet service. God's Spirit's here. The first point in this point is this. They were departing from Jericho. I never see the word Jericho. I never see the word Jericho that I don't think of Rahab. I never see that word Jericho. Yeah, I think of the walls, think of that, but I want to tell you something. She ends up being in the lineage of Jesus Christ. reaching outside of her comfort, taking a risk, believing when nobody around her was believing. Is that what happened? I'm telling you, man, I love that girl. She teaches me every time I see the word Jericho. She teaches me the picture of saying, you know what? And I think part of it was sheer desperation. The spies get in there and she said, you know what? We've already heard what your God does. And I want to tell you something. We need to be singing, living, speaking the praises of the Most High God so that when people are around us, they say, I done heard what the Lord did for you. I want to tell you. And I'm not talking about being fake. Oh, look at me, look at me, look at me. No, I'm talking with all your warts and wiggles. And God saves you right there and delivers us and keeps us and walks with us and provides for us. So that's Jericho. I could do about 4 hours on that, but I won't. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, and they heard that Jesus was passing by. I want to tell you, they couldn't see Jesus. They heard he was passing by. And here we go again. Are you telling people about what Jesus has done for you? I'm going to tell you. Just quickly, I've had people come to me and say, you know what, I don't feel comfortable, you know, telling people about Jesus because they're going to ask me some questions that I don't know. So I drive a Ford pickup, and if you said, can I have a ride? I said, oh, yeah, let's check the gas tank. Other than that, I put a key in it, I turn it, I put it in R usually to back up and then D to go forward if I'm tracking. And I don't understand how the transmission works. I don't know everything about an internal combustion engine. It's got a thing you turn in the four wheels, the front wheels kick in. I don't know how none of that works. We used to get out and turn the hubs on them things. I knew how that worked, but I don't know how none of that works. But guess what? I ride in it and go everywhere I need to go. Amen. Are you following me? And I want to tell you something. You don't have to know every detail of everything to tell people that Jesus saved me. He redeemed me. He gives me peace. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my soon coming King. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to be able to share that. So somebody shared it with them, or they just heard it, somebody talking. But they had already heard of this Jesus. And I want to tell you something. They had a need. And I want to say, the world is blind, guys. Sin blinds. And I'm not going to get on my pet sin or your pet sin, or we're going to spend time on, you know, how wrong everybody else is. What I am going to tell you is this, that when you walk in sin, what happens is it gets darker and darker and darker, and before long, you really can't see. And we have a world full of people who are standing there, and Jesus is in the area, and are you sharing him with them? And I don't mean being an evangelist. I mean letting your light shine, whether it's in the motorcycle shop, whether it's in the Porter's grocery store, whether it's wherever you're at, whether you're at work, just living that life and being there for one another. Because I'm going to tell you, these guys had a problem, didn't they? Because I want to tell you, there wasn't a lot of things that blind folks could do for a living besides beg back then, I'm guessing. Okay. Verse 31. Now this will preach. And if you know, y'all aren't easily irritated, are you? Because I can be irritated. This verse irritates me. And not at myself right now. These guys are blind on the side of the road. And their Savior, the healer, is walking by. And they're wanting some help. And if they didn't know who Jesus was, I mean, it's a multitude of people following. Surely they know he's a healer. Surely they know he's the answer. And they say, shut up. We're trying to have church here. Right. Is that what happened? Yep. And I know it's not exactly that, but I'm just telling you, that's where my brain goes is, well, man, I'm going to tell you, there's more fights in church about the color of the carpet, more fights in church about this or that, or should we do that, or should we, you know, what's whose position is this, whose position is that, and we got a blind world out there needing something, and we're pointing at each other and telling everybody how it should be. And that irritates me. Can you tell? It irritates me. And I want to tell you what happens with a oyster. When there's a grain of sand in there and it gets irritated, it begins to coat it and it makes a pearl. And I want to tell you, that pearl of truth needs to be screamed from the rooftop. It needs to be screamed. It needs to be, people need to know that Jesus is the answer, and us fussing and fighting about the pros and cons of culottes or who does this or who does what. I want to tell you something. I've heard, never mind, I'm not going to even mention that. I'm online. Okay, never mind. They warned them. They warned them, you better shut up. But this is what happened. They needed Jesus so bad, they kept hollering. And I believe at this point, this is what I believe they thought. He's our only hope. If we want to see. If we want to see, he's our only hope. I don't know if these guys were 16 or 66. I have no idea how old they are. Okay. But they've been blind a while. And so they cried out all the more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. We've been here several times these last few weeks. The unjust judge, he is a redneck. He don't fear man, he don't fear God. That's what the Bible says. He's unjust. But the widow woman comes and says, I need some help. First time, he's like, yeah, whatever. The second time, he's like, yeah, whatever. The third time, he's like, yeah, whatever. About the 16th time, he says, would you please do something with this woman? She's driving me nuts. Now, that's not the King James Version, but that's what happened, isn't it? And then Jesus uses that example. It says, if him as an unjust judge did that, then we should never quit. Pray with, okay, I'm mixing verses here, but pray without ceasing. I mean, and that's what the Bible says. These boys wasn't giving up. They knew that old song, I Will Not Be Denied. We sang that at Avenel's, and we sang it last week. I think that was her theme song. I will not be denied. Till Jesus comes and makes me whole, I will not be denied. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, so them calling, the first part of verse 32. So Jesus is doing something. I'm guessing they're moving toward where he's going. And all of a sudden he stands still. Their persistence got the attention of the master. Have you give up? Don't quit. Don't give up. There would be plenty of time for rest when they put you in that little box. I got people all the time saying, when are you going to retire? I said, oh, I got a great retirement plan. It's a little box they're going to put me in. So anyway, but my retirement, but I won't be in that box. I'll be with him. And that's what I'm working toward. So he stood still. They got his attention, and he called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? I love this part because it fits into everything I've been talking about for 3 weeks. It really does. And until I got here, whatever it was, I studied it. So watch this. What do you want me to do for you? So how did God create the heavens and earth? Spoke it into existence. Let there be whatever. Did the devil come by and say, no, you ain't? No. He spoke it and it happened. Is that what happened? And us as his offspring, it's important what you say. It's essential to what you say. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? Do you think Jesus didn't know what they wanted? They needed to speak that out of their mouth. Okay? And he said, Lord, that our eyes may be open. That's what we want. You need to tell the Lord what you want. When we have prayer down here, tell him what you want. You can whisper. You know, you may not want anybody to know. That's good. I don't care. Neither does he. So Jesus had compassion. Does Jesus have compassion? Amen. We just spent 40 minutes in Sunday school in Psalms 107. Over and over, it's like four pictures. We didn't get very far in it because, you know, I'm slow. But literally, it's a picture over and over of these people doing something ignorant, getting in trouble, and God delivered them. Then these people do something ignorant, and that's what the whole thing's about. And when I say ignorant, something wrong, okay? So, and they said to him, Lord, our eyes may be open, and Jesus had compassion. I want you to get this morning. Jesus has compassion. And let the church of Jesus Christ, okay, everybody know, some of y'all ain't gonna like this, but guess what? You know, we're the bride of Christ. Okay. And I want to tell you, I want to please the groom. I want to please the groom. And my groom is compassionate. He loves, for God so loved the world. And he didn't love us when we were good. Oh, there's that boy there, he's got it together. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth won't perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus has compassion, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And guess what happened next? I'd never caught this part. I probably read it, but it didn't hit me hard. And they followed him. Guess what? It's hard to argue with somebody that's had a relationship with God. You know, it's like I told somebody the other day, it's like, can you imagine me running into Saul, who then became Paul, at Porter's and saying, you know, this Jesus thing, this ain't, you know, that ain't real. And he says, son, it knocked me off. He knocked me off my donkey. He spoke to me. He blinded me. And now he's empowered me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's real. Can you imagine me arguing with him? And I want to tell you, these blind guys who now can see, you can't argue with them because they have experienced the goodness of God. Does that make sense? Okay. So that was the first point with 1,700 subpoints. So, Chapter 21, and we're going to get into this a little bit. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, which I don't even know what that means, at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, listen to these words, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now, guys, this is for somebody. Somebody needs this. You may not have no idea what God's doing. Sometimes circumstances are put in our lives Sometimes we feel like we need to do something. Something happens and we think, why in the world would that happen? Why would this happen? Why am I going through this? Why? And these people are telling, or Jesus is telling these two guys to do something, and they don't have no idea what's going on. Okay? They know they're going to get a donkey, but it's like they don't send no money. They don't send, just go down here and get this donkey. Just steal it. Go ahead and be a horse thief. Okay? I mean, and I want to compare this and contrast this to something this morning. Abraham has a dream. And God gives him Isaac. It's a miracle. No, I'm serious. It's a miracle. And now that boy is probably a teenager. And God comes and says, I want you to sacrifice your son. And I'm not even going to take the time to tell you all the arguments that would have come in his head. That's not going to, you gave it to me. You see what I'm saying? All of the arguments. Because see, Abraham understood covenant. But he didn't understand the covenant that God was preparing. Abraham saw dimly. He saw the small pieces of that, of him, his prayer being answered and that covenant being honored. And see, he saw that. But what he didn't see is that God needed a man to give his son so that God could give his son. Can you see that? And the first time I saw that, I shook because of the start. I mean, and God calls us to do things and we say, why in the world? What? I'm going through this. I'm going through that. This is going on. Did you know God knows what he's doing? Yeah. No, I'm serious. Surprise, surprise. God knows what he's doing. He puts us in situations. He puts people around us. We suffer. Because I'm going to tell you something. Abraham, from the house to the mountain, was suffering. You can't tell me that if I had any of my boys, any of my kids, girls, guys, you know, people, even people that I, covenant kids, grandkids, that I'm walking to sacrifice them, it's 2 or 3 days journey. Can you imagine the suffering? He suffered. You say, I can't believe God's letting me go through this. I can. Because all things are working together for your good. And guess what? Abraham had no idea the level of covenant that was being established. He knew that he had his miracle, and then God required his miracle. Think about it. And he walks up there. His son says, we got the fire, we got the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says these words. God will provide. And there are some people who believe that he thought that God would do a switch. That's not what I think. And I don't think what you want. It's America. America. This is what I think. I think he didn't want to have to chase him back down that mountain. I think he said that, and what he was saying was the truth, because God had provided him a son for that sacrifice. And he got up there, and listen, God didn't like on the edge of the mountain. He said, never mind. Never mind. Because that would have been very merciful. He walked up that mountain, bound his son, and laid him on the altar, and got the knife ready. And then God says, oh, I get it. you're willing to give your son. Now, because of the covenant of Abraham, I can't give my son. The most precious thing I have. You have given me the most precious thing you have. We'll have to study covenant another time, but the bottom line is this. That sacrifice opened the door, and the sacrifice of these guys obeying him and not knowing what's going on or going through what God had called them to be going through. You see this. Going to the village, get this coat. And what they didn't know was all this was done, verse 4, was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. You realize, I've heard this used twice, two different ways. There's a place out in, I think it's Gila Bend, Arizona, somewhere around there, that there's all of these aircraft that the through the years the military have parked there, and they don't use them. They cannibalize parts off of one for the other and all that. And if a tornado went through there and blowed up a bunch of parts and then landed over here in Crane, and it was a fully functioning jet fighter, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Well, the chances of anyone accidentally fulfilling all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled is about the same chances of that happening. See, Jesus is God. Amen. He is the Messiah. And every check mark was hit on the prophecy. And here's the deal. That donkey was up there waiting for him. And God knows what he's doing. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. And he set him on, and they set him on them. And a very great multitude spread out their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went up before those who followed, crying, Hosanna, or saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitudes say, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. I want to tell you, that just like Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, he is working in you. You are a Christian, a little Christ, a follower of Christ. And he is working in you to, he who began this work in you is faithful to complete it. I'm going to tell you something. I'll just be perfectly frank. Now that I'm 36, or almost 36, with a little shipping and handling, I'm a little more honest than I used to be. I don't have a snowball's chance of doing what I'm supposed to do completely for God. But I know he who began this work in me is faithful to complete it. I can sleep because of that. I have peace because of that. And it matters what you do. Please don't, you know, leave here. Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. But just know that it matters. You know, do what you're supposed to do. Follow the word. Follow him. Follow the Holy Spirit. Last point, which is a whole sermon in itself. Verse 12. Jesus went to the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of all of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it to a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children were crying out in the temple, saying, "Hosanna, the son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise'?" Then he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. So guys, this would be a great time for me to say how perfect we do church and how messed up everybody else's church is. It's not true. What is messed up is men's hearts, people's hearts. And guys, if we're not careful, everything gets perverted. And the bottom line is the reason Jesus came was not to establish buildings, organizations, Bless Me Club. What he came because this world is lost and broken. And the further we get away from his purposes here, both to bring people to Jesus, grow them up in the faith, and send them back out as fishermen, the further we get away from that, the screwed upper we get. Is that a word? Screwed upper?
Yeah.
Messed upper? Okay, it messed up. And hey, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. You plant it, it grows up, and there's a bunch of trees in its branches. And you know what? Or sorry, a bunch of limbs and then a bunch of birds in the branches. Guess what birds do? They sit around, park your truck under a tree, see what happens. Okay, so what happens is this, guys, as the Church of Jesus Christ has aged and grown and the limbs have got further out and further out, and here's the deal, guys, if we're not careful, we forget the root, we forget the base, we forget the cornerstone, and the cornerstone is first magnifying Christ. So let's magnify Christ. Both in this building, in your home, and your life, and your heart. But then secondary is to proclaim the truth of, "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These guys had forgot about this. They forgot about it. They were more interested in two doves for a dollar, or whatever it was. I don't know how it worked. I wasn't there, okay? There's a whole system. And when I run into people who are in the world and they don't go to church, they're not part of any organized anything, that's the first thing they say is, you know, all they talk about is money. All they talk about is this. I have a friend who was in another state once years ago and brought a guy, finally got him to church. And I think they talked about the whole thing was about the offering. And I'll never forget him expressing the sadness of that guy left there. And did he hear the gospel? Did he? No, he heard about how we need more money, okay? You know, the truth is, and this is Kathleen Beelan, I am actually quoting my mother. Okay, this is not the Bible, but this is my mother. She said, "If I don't have a church to speak in, I will get on the back porch with a wooden spoon, and I will hit that, and we'll have church in my backyard." And I want to tell you, she would not be denied. She was going to tell people about Jesus, whether it was in the hair beauticians, or whether it was in the grocery store, or whether it's in church. Okay? And God's called us to be that. And let's not get pulled off of the purpose of the church, to glorify Him. Are you glorifying Him? Glorify Him. And then bring the message of Jesus Christ to others to glorify Him. And it's not about how many scalps you got on your belt or how many people come. Of course, we have, you know, thousands here this morning of, you know, in my imagination. Just kidding. So, evangelistically speaking. Okay. But the bottom line is this. God knows what He's doing. And in this, then the last three words, he lodged there. And guys, I'm going to tell you that we need to be able to rest. And we need to be able to rest in his truth and his presence and his peace. The world is not resting. Everybody's tore up over everything. And I want to tell you, I'm not tore up. And the reason I'm not tore up is because I am not better than anybody or anything. I refuse to be tore up because he's in charge. He is in charge. He's in charge of health, all the wealth. You say, well, if he's in charge, why is everything so messed up? Because you're involved. Not just you, I mean the royal we, all of us, okay? So the bottom line is this, let's be obedient to him. Let's know that we are servants and soldiers in his kingdom. And let's seek him first. And as we do this, all these other things will be added unto it. Let's bow our heads this morning. Thank you, Lord, so much for your peace, your joy, your grace. And Lord, if folks are watching this morning, Lord, or they're in here and they have needs, Lord, I pray that they will keep calling on you. They will keep calling on you, not trying to fulfill it with higher handlebars and louder pipes and more of this and more of that, or the better position. Lord, instead, Lord, that we would call on you, Lord, to meet our needs according to your riches and glory, Lord. And you are rich in grace and mercy and love. And all the cattle and all the hills are all yours, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that we continue to call out just like the blind man did, Lord. And then we'll follow you. And, Father, I thank you, God, that you showed us this picture today, Lord, that we need to be obedient to fulfill the purposes of Christ. And that, Lord, we don't want church to be up here and you be down here, but instead, Lord, you be up here and church be a way, Lord, that we get to you. And one of the ways, Lord, that we learn and become the men and women you've called us to be. And Father, we love you. We give our lives to you. If you're watching this morning or you're here this morning and you don't know him, call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, we love you and we need a Savior, oh God. Because, Lord, we are lost. Without you, we are doomed. But with you, Lord, we are saved. We know, Lord, that you are the Son of God. And Lord, you died on the cross for our sins, and you rose, Lord, to prove to the world, Lord, who you are. And now you sit at the right hand of the Father, Lord, interceding for us. So, Lord, we thank you, God. And we receive you, and we wrap our arms around the truth of who you are this morning, Lord. In Christ's name, I pray.